Sam, we thank you so much. You know, we have so many great song leaders here that lead us every time we blend our voices together, and we just appreciate all of those who are willing to give their time to do that. But that takes a lot of love, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight. How to love the unlovable or the unloving. You know, you see so many of the skirmishes that are going on around the world, the Ukraine and Russia and Venezuela and the United States and other places around the world where people are fighting simply because they cannot get along. And they don't even try to get along. That's a big problem, isn't it? Having to love the unlovable. How do you go about doing that? Well, let me share with you tonight some things along that line. In Matthew 5 and 46, Jesus said, if you love those who love you, he says, what reward will there be for you in heaven? Most generally, people do what Christ said, that we love the people that love us. And people that don't want to love us, we don't have anything for them. We don't want to love them. And yet Christ says that if the only people that you love in the world are the people that are going to be loving and kind and sweet to you, then, you know, there's really no reward in that. Jesus said, this is my command, that you love one another. He said, as I have loved you. John 15 and verse 12. And in the 13th chapter of the book of John, Jesus said, listen to what he says now. He says, we are to love one another again as he has loved us. For hereby shall the world know that you are my disciples if you love one another. I want to go back to the 5th chapter of the book of Matthew now, and I want to look in verse 44. And Christ says, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who despitefully use you or persecute you or speak all manner of evil against you for my sake, for great is your reward in heaven. Boy, you know, before Christ came, no one ever told anybody to love their enemy. You were told to hate your enemy. You were told to live by the law of an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth. But Christ came into the world offering a better way to get along with people. You know, if you go to the 13th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, you will find probably one of the greatest detailed explanation of what love really does and what kind of love we should have. People say they love everything. You know, they love their car, they love their house, all the inanimate objects. But Christ is focused on loving one another. Loving another human being, loving him and loving God. Love is patient when others continually cause hurt with their words and their actions. How easy is it for you to love people that do that? Love is kind when the opportunity opens for us to be a blessing or an encouragement. And love is not jealous when others around us are more blessed in areas that we are not. Sometimes people just get jealous about a lot of things in life. Love does not brag when something good happens to come our way unexpectedly. You don't brag about what you can do, and you don't brag about who you are. And as I mentioned earlier today, you are blessed and not stressed because God is the one who supplies your need. Love is not arrogant when God abundantly blessed us through his grace, and love does not act unbecomingly when we are tempted to act dishonorably before the world. Love does not, Paul says, does not seek our own when we resist looking at a situation only in light of how it affects us. Love is not, and let me say this, there's a word that's used by Paul in that book of 1 Corinthians 13. It's the word easily. He said, love is not easily provoked. When our anger is rising, we should calm down in the Lord. Love does not take in account of wrong suffered. In other words, you don't keep counting all the bad times that people treated you in ways that were not favorable. When we continue to forgive and when we continue to remember, we are forgiven by our Father who is in heaven. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, and when we reflect on the terrible price, the horrible price Jesus paid for our sins, love rejoices with truth. When we rejoice in the truth that hurts and heals just as much as any other truth. Love bears all things. When we cover the weakness and the faults of other people, and we don't like to do that, but when we do it with our silence and with our prayers, we don't go back and say to someone, well, I forgave you years ago of that sin you committed against me. No, you don't brag about it, and you don't take delight in what you did. You just know that it was the right thing. Love believes all things when we're willing to believe the best about them. And that really is what that text is saying. When it says that love believes all things, you believe the best about an individual until you know otherwise. Love hopes all things. And when we never stop expecting that God is working all things for our good, even the bad things. I mentioned that this morning, but it's true, isn't it? Sometimes the things that we consider bad things are actually, in disguise, the great blessings of God. And love never fails when we transfer the unconditional agape love of our Father who is in heaven to others who don't deserve it. We should be a people that work at loving one another more every day. God gave His Son Jesus for us at a time when we least deserved it. None of us deserve the love of God. Sometimes God places difficult people in our lives to mold our character and to reveal Christ's likeness in all of us. For God wants to manifest Himself to you in every time you are faced with difficult and unloving people. He does. Now, we don't understand that. We would think, you know, people say, because they look at it from a human standpoint, well, you know, if God really loved me, He wouldn't put me in a situation where I have to be around that individual that is so unloving. You know what God says? Love them anyway. You must yield to the Holy Spirit who produces this fruit in your life. And if you want to find out about the fruit of the Spirit, go over to the book of Galatians. And you will find that there are many wonderful fruit that is produced as a result of our loving God. And the book of Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19 through 22. Fruit like joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and, well, here's a big one, self-control. I like the words of Paul when he wrote to the Roman church in the 5th chapter in verse 8, when he said, but God commendeth His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. God, have you ever thought about that? God didn't die for the godly. Jesus didn't come and shed His blood for the godly folk. But He died, as Paul writes here, for the ungodly, to turn them around and turn them toward heaven. What do you do with the unloving? Well, you just keep loving them, no matter what. You love God, you love others, and you love yourself. And these three really are important, and they are vital if you're going to live that powerful life that God really wants you to live as an individual. Points quickly. We must love others sacrificially. That's how you love the unlovable. They may never respond to your love. You know, there are some people in this world you could do anything in the world and they would never love you and they would never want you to love them. But we are to be a people that love in spite of, and that is a sacrificial love. It is the way that God loves us. It is an agape love, not a deserved love, but it is a gift of God. Love is, and he loves us so much. Paul in Romans 12 and verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, here it is, a living sacrifice, sacrificial love. Let me tell you what that is. It's a love that goes out of its way to help other people. You know, one of the little trite statements that we all make sometimes when we ought to be loving people and responding to their needs, but we say, well, I'm just too busy. I have such a busy schedule. Do you think that anybody else in this audience tonight does not have a busy schedule? We all have busy schedules. But you know, the person who can love sacrificially is the person who can drop everything that he is doing and help the brother or the sister in Christ who is hurting. Now that's what sacrificial love really is. What does it mean to be a living sacrifice? If you read on in that text, Paul says we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. You sacrifice your time. You sacrifice your money. You sacrifice your life to help other people. Sometimes people say, well, I would be willing to help them, but it's just not a convenient time. That's like I asked you a few weeks ago. What is a convenient time? How would you describe a convenient moment? We create opportunities. Someone said that weak men wait for opportunities, but strong men create. They create opportunities to serve. And the Bible says, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially them that are of the household of faith. You see, sacrificial love is not just words. It's action. It's doing it. You know, we could all talk about it. We could all, you know, we could stand up here and talk about how we love one another and how we love our enemies. The real proof of whether or not you really love them is your action, because love is an action word. It is a verb. And we can demonstrate sacrificial love by giving ourselves unto other people. What do you consider in your life? Let me just ask you a question tonight. This one up here on the screen. What do you consider to be the most important gift you could possibly give to other people? You ever thought about that one? There it is. Right there. Because it's your life. It's your life. You give people of your time. Remember a little story about the dash? And how people live their lives, and they said that really the most important thing on your tombstone is that dash. It has the day that you were born, and then it has a dash and has the day that you departed this life. And the most significant aspect of all of that is the dash. What are you doing? The dash represents your time, your talent, your energy. Even to the unlovable. Sometimes people have trouble balancing their time. And you know what? We could do a whole lot more if we balanced our time. We could if we worked at it. And the longer you live, the faster time goes. Isn't that true? Isn't it hard to believe that here we are in the year 2026 and 2025 has already come to an abrupt end? And here we are. By the way, let me make a suggestion to you. We have placed out there, thanks to Bill Hawkins, you can read the Bible through in a year if you follow this little pattern. There's some of those that are available out there, and I can't think of anything that would be more beneficial to you than to read the Holy Scriptures through in the year 2026. Because your life will only go faster, it will. You see, what we have done for ourselves alone dies with us. But what we have done for others and the world remains and is immortal. If you were here this afternoon at the memorial service for Ann Sparks, you'd understand what I'm talking about. Ann didn't live for herself. She lived for others. She lived for her family. She lived for the church. She lived for her neighbors. Her life was consumed and her time was consumed by doing for other people. What a great legacy and what a great example for all of us. We can love others sacrificially, as I said, by helping, encouraging, listening, spending time with them. We may sacrifice our own needs and desires for theirs. You may say you don't have time. You have time. It's a matter of how you appropriate your time. We all have the same amount of minutes and seconds and hours and days and years, but it's up to us. And Jesus calls us to love one another. Even ones who are unlovable, unlovely, Jesus loved the unloved and the unlovely. And love others as God loves us. You know, there's some people they're hard to kind of get along with. Y'all ever have that issue? And sometimes kind of hard to love people like that, isn't it? But if you're going to follow the biblical principles that are laid down in the Word of God, you love them anyway. And you don't say, well, I've got to love them because he said I have to love them. No. That's not the kind of attitude that you have. But when you love someone sacrificially, you go out of your way and you say, hey, it doesn't have to be my way. I want it to be done God's way. And we are called to love like Jesus. If you want to grow abundantly in the will of God, 1 Thessalonians 4 is right. And you can read verses 9 through 12 there. It teaches us how to love one another. God's disposition of love is found in John 3 and verse 16. One of the most popular passages in all of the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For the Christ came to the world not to judge the world, but to save the world. John 16 and 17 of chapter 3. Loving the unlovable. Christ had a lot to say about that. There was a woman that was taken in adultery in John chapter 8. And the world hated her. They didn't want anything to do with this woman. They were so afraid that they would be tainted by even associating with this woman. And Christ said, go your way and sin no more. Neither do I condemn thee. And that's kind of love God has for us. It's unconditional love. Did you know that God loves us even though a person doesn't believe in his Son? God still loves that individual. Did you know when you resist baptism for the remission of sins, God still loves you? Now, that doesn't mean he agrees with you. It doesn't mean that he's happy with your decision. But he loves you. Does that mean you're going to have eternal life in heaven? No, doesn't mean that. I'm just telling you that God's love is so perfect and so wonderful that he loves you in spite of, and that is what Paul said in the book of Romans 5 and verse 8, that God loves us and he commends his love toward us while we're sinners. Christ died for us. Listen to Matthew 8 verse 1 through 4. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and he touched him, something that no one had ever touched a leper up until this point. And Jesus, and this is one of the things that was so outstanding about Christ loving the unlovable, because everybody considered lepers to be unlovable. And yet the Bible says that Jesus touched him and he asked him, will you be clean? And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way and show thyself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Someone asked me one time, why did Jesus tell them not to tell a man? I don't know. I couldn't give you that answer. I'm just telling you what the Lord said, and I accept his word. And he said to go before the priest. And that's exactly what happened in the story of the 10 lepers. Remember that? When Christ was ready to heal them and restore their body, and only one turned around and came back, and Christ said, "Where are the nine? Where are the nine?" But secondly, we must be a people that love others patiently. Love them sacrificially, but love them patiently. Be patient. You know, one of the hardest things in the world for us to do is be patient. You ever notice that? I know some of you are getting impatient right now because you think we're going overtime tonight. I'm just on point number two. And you're getting a little impatient about this. And you're thinking, well, I wonder how many more points he has tonight. Just hold on. Be patient. Patient. God's command is clear. Be patient with all people. That's what love is. Go back to 1 Corinthians 13. We ought to be praying, Lord, increase my patience as I wait for you. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It does not dishonor other people. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. And it keeps no record of wrongs. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4. We have to be patient with others. And that's because we love them. Be patient with ourselves. That is hope. And be patient with God. That is faith. Things happen on God's timetable, not ours. But he said, Christ said in John 15:12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. You think about how long-suffering and how patient God is with us. The Bible says it really waited during the days of Noah when they were preparing that ark. God does not forget your labor of love. And last of all, we must love others as we want to be loved. You think of the golden rule, at least that's what we call it, in Luke 6 and 31, where Christ said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You know what? We could solve a lot of the world's problems tonight if Secretary of State Rubio and President Trump could get people to accept this message. Do unto others as you would want them to do unto you. Treat others the way you want to be treated. And I can tell you there are a lot of people in the world that will not do that. They won't do it. But Christ says you love them anyway. When they're unkind and demeaning, you love them. You love them regardless. Again, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get as a result of doing that? For in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 2, for with the same judgment you pronounce, we're talking about judgment, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you again. Christ is saying essentially the same thing Paul said when he said, you will reap what you sow. If you're impatient, he'll put you around people that'll be impatient with you. He'll teach you. He'll help you learn. He'll teach you how to be sacrificial with your time and your energy. I hope tonight that you'll practice this thought of loving others who are basically unlovable. And do what Christ did for us, didn't he? I mean, he went to the cross. He's been patient with us. He sacrificially gave his life for us. Not for the righteous, but the unrighteous. Now tonight, if you feel that there are some things that are amiss in your life, and your love life is lacking, then why don't you come back to God tonight? Come back to the Lord who loves you, who's patient with you. He is sacrificing with you another day, another time. And if you've never obeyed the gospel to be baptized for the remission of sins, God will love you even if you don't. But he doesn't agree with you. And that's not going to save you. God's not going to save you because God loves you. He's not. So I hope tonight that if you really believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you're ready to make the great confession of faith, then the baptistry waters are ready and we're happy to immerse you into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Let us stand and let us sing.